Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Keeping Up with Mrs. Kelly. Today, our beloved Miss Spences Lee joins us from across the Atlantic to talk about racism and how the color of our skin and the shape of our bodies does not define who we are.
Hello?
Well, hello to our surprise special finale guest.
Hey, son, say son.
Hello, Miss Spences Lee. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Much better now. Thank you so much. Oh, this is so exciting. It's almost like you're right here back at IS Lena. Can you feel it? Can you feel the vibes?
I can feel the vibes. Absolutely.
So tell our listeners where you are right now, because they can't, they have no idea that you're not in the same room as me. You're sitting here on my speakerphone. Where are you? What are you doing?
Right now, it's 8:11 in the morning, and I'm back in my hometown, Toronto, Canada, enjoying the rain.
Oof.
Right now. It's raining.
Did we switch?
And after leaving IES Lena, I moved to Ireland, and it was great. I was living in the Emerald Island.
Nice.
But unfortunately, because of COVID, I came back home to hang out with my family. So I'm hanging out with my family here in Toronto, and the NBA season is canceled. So technically, the Toronto Raptors are still the NBA championship.
Well, there you go. You can ride on that wave of success for as long as this lasts. Oh, but it's so cool to talk to you. And I don't know if you've been following our podcast, but this season has been all about accepting yourself and thinking about the things that make you you, and instead of trying to hide them or get rid of them, really accepting them and embracing them. And when I was thinking, how do we end this season with a bang? How do we really like make this finale into something incredible and sensational? Your face popped into my mind immediately.
That's very sweet. Thank you, Mrs. Kelly.
Well, I don't do sweet, but I do honest. So this is me being honest. And there's no one who exemplifies this better than you do. So I'm really glad that you could take the time to be on the show with us. And it's also really, really good timing, I think, if one can find any silver lining in all of the racial things that are happening right now. It's that it came at this time where we can talk really openly, because I think that you, as a person of color, have some good insights and some maybe good advice for other people who have also experienced injustice and racism and have come through and are able to accept themselves. So if you could start out by just talking about the situation right now, because you're in North America right now, where there is a lot of chaos right now in light of what happened last week. How is it in Toronto right now?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you for saying all of that. I know you say you don't do sweet, but for everyone listening, Mrs. Kelly is so sweet, she makes your toothache sometimes. So I know you're trying to you're trying to befriend, but you're exposed.
Yeah, you've exposed my soul.
In Toronto right now, tensions are very high. I know that with media, you kind of get flash-flooded with a lot of the American news. Being neighbored with the U.S., of course, we are well aware of everything that's happening. But unfortunately, and in my experience, these racial tensions are everywhere. And I think that's really important to understand, especially with the protests, the peaceful protests that are happening all over the world. I know that there has been some questions of, you know, why here? We're not in the States. You know, it doesn't happen here. Maybe the same experiences don't happen where you're at, but they are there. And I can speak to that from my personal experience traveling and living abroad in different cities. Right now in Toronto, we had a very unfortunate event with police brutality about 2 days after George Floyd. And so we are dealing with very high tensions with the police here as well. Fortunately, here in Toronto specifically, there's been peaceful protests with people still practicing social distancing. I know it's a little different in Sweden, but here in Canada, we're still on a semi-lockdown. Lots of things are still unopened, and we're very encouraged to stay home. So because I'm with my parents who happen to be at risk, I've been taking the initiative to stay home and go outside only when it's essential, so grocery shopping, things like that, which has been really difficult for me to express myself because I think everybody knows that I really like to express myself.
Really? What a shock. So. I hadn't realized that in our first meeting together, but, you know.
What color shirt did I wear?
You were wearing bright purple. Still remember. Yeah, that must be a challenge for you to just be thrown into something completely different because you were living quite independently for a while in Sweden and then in Ireland and then to go into lockdown with your family. And then during this really, I'm sure, stressful time for you and your family, you being back home suddenly and having at-risk parents and then having all of these racial things popping up at the same time, that must be a huge challenge.
Absolutely. It's very difficult. To speak to the theme of your podcast and accepting yourself, one of the things that has been helpful for me but also challenging is accepting that I am feeling something. I think it's really important to take a little time for yourself and reflect. And, you know, you're allowed to feel things. You're allowed to feel empathetic towards others that may not be going through the same thing that you're going through. And it is okay to feel sad or to feel angry for things that do affect you. So though it's been difficult and challenging to do that, it's very interesting in my particular situation because I did have to leave and get thrown into this new experience of living back home because I haven't lived with my parents for a very long time.
Yeah.
My little brother is still here. My sister lives on her own, not a little far away. So it would be like the distance from school goes to the city center. So I don't get to see her as often, but we are a unit and we're working together to not drive each other crazy.
Good. That's important.
But to speak to the theme, I think it's really important to allow yourself to feel these things and to talk about it. I know one of the most difficult things is to understand that everybody is collectively going through something, whether it's COVID-related, maybe somebody's feeling a little scared about, you know, the global situation with COVID and the pandemic, and other people are feeling scared about, or maybe don't even understand what's happening around the world with the racial uprising. But it's important to try and take that time, not only for yourself, but for the others around you, and explain things and explain maybe why you're feeling angry, or maybe be the shoulder for someone else to speak to you about what they're feeling. And check on the people that you love and that you care about because maybe they're not having a great time. You know, it's a lot right now with the pandemic, with the protests, with everything that's happening. And I think it's really hard to process sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. And I know that because we've spent so much time together and because you've been so open about things, I know that this is not the first time that race has been a challenge for you. I don't know how comfortable you feel talking about some of your experiences, but I think that just even giving us a glimpse of some of the things that you have experienced would be really helpful for our listeners.
Absolutely. I feel comfortable sharing it. I can go to something that happened most recently while in Dublin to kind of expand my social circle. I wasn't working at a school full time like I was at Lena. I did work at a school, but it was just a couple of days a week. And I spent the other days of the week, work days, working at a hostel, so a backpacking hostel for lots of young travelers like myself. And it was a very simple job, sitting behind the desk and greeting guests. One of the guests posed as a backpacker. He happened to be Irish national, not from Dublin. And the thing about Ireland that's very interesting is that Ireland, although it's known for its very traditional customs, and they are experiencing, just like Sweden, immigration really fast and in a small amount of time. So a lot of people, a lot of traditionalists maybe, aren't so receptive to, you know, the immigration that's happening in Ireland. And I was working, and this guest that posed as a guest wanted to check out. And normally, you know, I was doing my thing and being my bubbly self. And he assaulted me for no reason. It was completely unprovoked. He whipped a towel that was soaked in hot water and urine in my face. It was very traumatic and shocking and caught on camera. So, of course, the police were called. They called them the Garda in Ireland, in Dublin. And I called them in and they took my statement. And I said, you know, I have this video footage and would you like to have it? And they said, no, we don't. We'll deal with it. So I know that the attack was racially motivated because the person did yell racial slurs at me. So I know that that was the motivation of the attack, which is very hurtful for me because, at least for me as a person of color, I am so much more than that. I think what people, at least for me, I can only speak to my experience. It's not in the forefront of my mind. The color of my skin is not in the forefront of my mind. What's in the forefront of my mind is, you know, maybe what I'm doing at the moment, you know. Everyone that knows me knows I love basketball. So basketball's in the forefront of my mind. Mm. You know, the next book I'm going to write or read, that's in the forefront of my mind. That's what I identify with. You know, the color of my skin is not in the forefront of my mind.
No.
And it's really important to me to not have that in the forefront of my mind, because if I am like that, I'm going to be skeptical of everything. So when that happened, it was very shocking. And what was even more discouraging was that the people that were there put in place to protect me or to help protect me weren't there. And it was very discouraging because I wasn't, you know, I lived in Ireland alone. It was quite early in my time in Ireland, so I didn't have a good support net. And it was a really, really tough time. And it's still something that I'm grappling with now. And it's very triggering to kind of hear and see all of this police brutality and all of these things that are happening around the world, knowing that, you know, just 3 months ago that happened to me. So that's something recently. And I know that, you know, Mrs. Kelly, I've had my time in Sweden as well.
Yeah.
Struggling daily. Though I absolutely loved IES Lennon, I think about you guys all the time. And it was for sure one of my best experiences in my entire life. And I really wish I could have stayed. My time in Sweden wasn't all rainbows and butterflies. And I had to put on a really strong face every single day. And some days my face wasn't that strong. Some days I couldn't even show up because it was so difficult. And you know, it's really, I think it's hard for everyone to process and to understand that racism is not black and white. It's not, you know, this isolated event that happened to me of being, you know, blatantly attacked. It's also me living in Sweden and having the amount of microaggressions every day, you know, going to the grocery store and the teller not serving me, telling me to go to, you know, self-checkout and helping somebody else. Or you guys know about my bank situation. We won't get too into that, but going to a bank and not being able to be served like someone else, or, you know, not feeling safe on the train, not really feeling safe at work sometimes, you know, those things build up. And when you live like that with every single day, having an event happen to you that reminds you of the color of your skin, that reminds you, you know, you, or tries to tell you rather, that you don't belong in the society, it's very damaging and tiring.
All of these experiences, it doesn't matter how many times you tell me about them, it makes me, like, it's hard for me to even talk about it because I'm so feeling all of these things for you and for people that experience this, that I don't even know what to say, which for you, like, you know me, I always know what to say. I'm always speechless when you talk about these things and I'm at a loss for words. But how do you take all of these difficult things that are happening to you constantly, small, large, and use them as like a learning experience? How can you find the silver lining in it? Because you do still continue through life with this passion and this enthusiasm and this love and empathy for others that is quite rare, I think. And how do you maintain that? And how do you find the value in yourself and in your life when you're constantly faced with these things that bring you down?
Wow, that was a very deep an intense question.
Yep. Sorry about that.
To break it down in parts, first off, one of the things, I'll be open and I'll share something about myself. One of the things that I struggle with is worthiness and just feeling worthy. And worthy is such a big word and it sounds kind of royal, but it could be something as simple as worthy for my meal, or worthy for love. And sometimes I get into these bouts of unworthiness, and that cause of that is because, unfortunately, through different channels, that's what I've been taught. So one of the things that I do and that I practice is I tell myself and I tell the people around me that go through similar situations, unfortunately, I just let everyone know, and I want everyone that's listening to know, if they've ever been through something like this, that it's not your fault. It has nothing to do with anything that I can change or that you can change. It's very different if somebody, you know, comes up to you, a friend comes up to you and says, hey man, you were really mean yesterday and I really didn't like the way that you treated me. You can take that constructive criticism and say, okay, what did I do? How can I fix this? But if somebody comes to you and tells you that they don't like something about you that you cannot change, your skin color, your height, the way your teeth are, you know, the kink in your hair, there's really nothing that you can do about it, and it's really not your fault. So that's the first step, is that this is something, even as a grown-up, that I tell myself every day. I wake up and I say, you know what, these things that are happening around the world, it's not your fault. It's not my fault that I have the color that I have. It's not my fault that I have the features that I have. It's not my fault. You know, your socioeconomical life is not your fault when you're growing up, and sometimes, even as an adult, it's not your fault. Sometimes you get, a lot of the time, people don't understand that, you know, how systematic racism works and how people get put into the system and then you kind of pigeonhole. That's kind of the first part. And how I keep going, I mean, I use a lot of resources. I think right now we're very lucky. We're very lucky to have this thing called the internet. And we're very lucky to have that resource, because there are some people in the world even right now that don't have that resource. And when I was a kid, I didn't have accessibility to the internet like how we have accessibility to the internet. So I use resources to read and to educate myself as to maybe why a situation is happening, and to find resources or maybe even novels or any sort of kind of relation to what I'm feeling to kind of validate that. So I use the internet to kind of, I utilize it as a resource to find resources, to understand things a little more. That makes me feel a little better. I also use the internet as a tool. I also use a pen and paper as a tool. I like to write. That's one thing that I like to do. And maybe some listeners like to listen to music or make music or write poems or color or draw or paint. And it doesn't even have to be that artistic. It could be you like to run. That's your thing, Mrs. Kelly.
It is.
Right? And, yep. And some, right? Somebody else can use that as a tool to decompress and to kind of feel their feelings. So that's what I do. So that's part one and part two. And the third part is, I'm so different in terms of what societally normal is. And thank you for all of the nice things that you've said, because sometimes I don't feel that way. But to kind of continue to do things that I love, you know, it was so easy for me in Ireland. And unfortunately, I did end up leaving just because of COVID. And who knows if I would have stayed. I can't speak to that. But even in Sweden, when I took the job at IES, I was ready to go. You know, I was on my way out, and you reeled me in. And it would have been so easy to say, you know what, forget it. I'm leaving and I'm not going to deal with this head on. And for me, and this doesn't work for everyone, for me, and I think I said this to you in the interview, the reason why I'm interested in the position and working as a junior club leader and working within IES is I wanted to show other people, I want to show the students, I want to show my colleagues that these stereotypes and the, you know, all of these things that are put in place in society to prove that these negative things that are put into place and say, okay, this type of person is like this. I wanted to kind of be the one person that somebody will think of and be like, oh, you know what? That's not true, because I knew somebody like this. And for me, it's how I deal with it and how I learn. And I just want to say that loving yourself is an ongoing thing. There are some days where I look at my Nikes or I look at my sneakers or I look at my blazers or dresses or whatever, and I'm like, man, I hate everything. Good at anything. My hair is doing a thing. This hat doesn't look right. These sneakers are old. You know, like, even from my teenage years until now, you're always going to have those days. I'm sorry to tell you. Those days are always going to be present. But for the most part, how I try not to have those days and how I kind of continue to live my life every day is to try to think to be an example. So I find my strength in leadership, and not to say that I'm this, you know, revolutionary leader, but if I can help one person in 10 years, for me, that's cool.
Yeah.
And so there's that. And for me, it's expressing myself and going against the grain. Growing up, being a bigger girl and a bigger woman, you know, it wasn't cool. We didn't have Beyonce with curves. We didn't have, you know, Lizzo. We didn't have these beautiful, wonderful women to look up to. And so it was really difficult. And I know for men, I mean, my brother is a big guy, too. He's, you know, he's big and tall and strong. And he didn't have those things growing up as well. So for us, it's really been about, you know what? Who cares what they say? They are telling me that I need to wear all black to slim down. You know what? My favorite color is yellow, and I'm going to wear yellow. Or, you know, yeah, okay, I'm tall, so what? You know, I'm 176 centimeters. All right, whatever. They told me that I can't wear heels. I'm going to wear 6-inch heels.
You wear 6-inch heels. Exactly.
Yeah.
Do it.
So doing whatever feels true to you. Do it. To this day, I still have a platform on my Doc Martens, and I still wear, you know, I just recently bought a bunch of sneakers with platforms on them, and, you know, I still wear my hair out. And I remember when I was young and I wore lipstick to, like, I don't know, some drama recital or something, a teacher told me, oh, your lips are too big, you shouldn't wear red lipstick. And I think I wore a red lipstick every day at IS.
No, of course you did.
I'm
pretty
sure it was,
like, it looked incredible.
And, you know, just doing whatever feels good to you. And if I could tell the students and anyone who's listening, if I could give any advice, just do what feels good to you, as long as it doesn't cause harm to anybody else, and uplift the people around you. You know, if you feel like your friend or peer, it doesn't even have to be one of your good friends. It could just be looking out for someone who's in the same class as you, or looking out for someone's brother that you know goes to a school that's, you know, 3 grades behind you. Look out for them, and if they're struggling, encourage them. If they like to read the same Harry Potter book over and over again, hey man, Harry Potter's not for me, but if you like lizards, do your thing.
Exactly.
You know, so that would be, I don't know if that's helpful, but
that
that's
is
kind of
super helpful.
that I've gone through.
And that was from our very first meeting together until, yeah, when I was thinking about who would be our guest on this, on our finale of this season, I just thought, you are that person that I've always wanted to bring into our kids' lives, our students and my own children's lives, to show that nobody has to be a certain thing. Like there's not, we don't exist in these little boxes of saying a teacher needs to be this, or an adult needs to be this, or someone who's successful looks like this. It doesn't look like this. And you were that person that from the moment I met you in Foster Centrum, in your purple dress, that I said, yes, she is going to change some lives. And you've done that in your time, your short time here at the school, but also I think now in reiterating your message to everybody, that this is, take those things that you love about yourself and be proud of them. Show them off. As long as you're not hurting anyone else, you be who you want to be. And that is something that it doesn't matter what the skin color of the person listening is. It doesn't matter the size, where they come from. That applies to every one of us, adults included. So thank you so much for that really, really powerful message. You are exactly what we needed to hear at this time. The world needs more voices like yours. And I'm really proud that your voice could be at IS Lena for a year. And also that we can continue working together to change the world a little bit at a time.
Thank you so much for having me. And just to end it for me, I just want to say that I think about IS Lena all the time, and that though my time there was short, I think about all of the students and all of the great parents that I met that made my time bearable in Sweden. And I also want to say that, just to reiterate what you said, we don't have to be part of one, we don't fit in one box, and it's possible to change. So be open to change as well. You know, maybe somebody has been taught something that is not great. Be open to that changing for them. Be that change for them. Be open to your change, your music taste will change, your style will change. Be open to that and accept it with open arms within yourself. You know, you don't have to be one thing. And I also want to say hi to the junior club. So hopefully somebody from there is listening, one of the students or one of the parents. And I want to say congratulations to the year nines, because I suppose they're moving on. And I hope that my time with the year nines, who were the year eights last year, have helped them moving forward, because I know they were having some difficulty, and it is a difficult time when you're at that age, for sure.
Definitely.
And hi to everybody, and I think about everyone. You're 7, you're 4, you're 5, you're 6.
We miss you. So the thoughts are sent both ways. Really cool that we can continue working together, even if it's across a really big ocean.
Thank you again for having me, Mrs. Kelly. I just want to say bye to everyone. I hope everyone has a good summer. Stay safe. Stay healthy. I hope everyone stays healthy. And I'm wishing you guys the best in your future endeavors.
Oh, thanks, Miss Spencesley. And we will definitely keep in touch. But in the meantime, huge hugs to you from across the ocean. Thank you for joining us for our season finale. And I hope you, Miss Spencesley, and the rest of our listeners out there tune in for another cool season after the summer. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a comment, and share the show. And don't forget to accept yourself. After all, there's only one of you.